I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to 2 John. 2 John, this morning we'll be looking at the second half of this letter, his warning for those who are believers in Jesus Christ, that call to watch out. So we'll be looking at specifically verses 7 through 13, but I'll read the entire letter for us this morning. 2 John. As we get ready to turn to God's word together, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we open up your word, please give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 John, beginning with verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, with Thanksgiving coming this week, and then Christmas and New Year's, we're entering into the holiday season, which usually means traveling. You're going to travel to Grandpa and Grandma's house, maybe, and if they live far away, then you'll spend the night there. Or maybe you have family coming this way, and they're going to spend a few nights with you. When 2 John, when this letter was written, they didn't have motels or hotels like we do today. The ancient inn wasn't a place you wanted to stay. It did not have a good reputation. The profession of an innkeeper was dishonorable, and they were notorious for being dirty and flea-infested, and innkeepers were known to be greedy. And so as a result, it was natural for Christians who were traveling to another town to stay in the homes of other Christians. We see that throughout the New Testament. You have Paul being hosted by Lydia in Philippi, Jason in Thessalonica, Philip in Caesarea. So you see this going on. Christians staying with other Christians. But this kind of hospitality could also be taken advantage of. False teachers posing as Christians, but actually denying Christ, antichrist, would go around and try to find a free place to stay, free lodging, as they spread their lies. And the question that John is addressing is, well, should we extend hospitality to them as well? And as we think about what that means for us, what does it mean for us today? Well, what about that unbelieving uncle? Or what about that cousin who's wandered from the faith and he's coming to visit this holiday season? The warning that 2 John gives us is against deceivers and the antichrists that have gone out into the world. And because of that reality, we are called, we are told to watch out. It's a call to be vigilant, a call to be alert. Because of the deceivers, because of the antichrists in the world, we are watching ourselves. We're abiding in the truth of Christ, and we're receiving only the truth of Christ. And so, you might be wondering, well, how do we do this? How do we watch out? And we do that by, first of all, watching yourself. Secondly, we do this by abiding in the truth. And third, we do it by receiving only the truth. And so first, watching yourself. This text is a warning for believers. The second half of 2 John here is focusing on that warning. John is highlighting the fact that there are some who have left the church. Some so-called Christians have now left the church. They are deceivers. They are antichrists. When you look at the beginning of the letter, he's writing to this elect lady, and he's excited that some of your children are walking in the truth. But the implication is that there are some who are not walking in the truth. And then he gives that warning that the deceivers, the antichrist, those are who are undermining the gospel, have gone out into the world. These individuals said they were Christians, but they have left the faith. It was called apostasy. They have shown that they were never believers at all. And the spiritual concern being addressed in this letter is the danger posed by these deceivers, by these individuals who are anti-Christ. And so John warns those who are receiving this letter to watch out. Watch yourself. Watch out for the deceivers who are against Christ, who are undermining the teachings of Christ, who are emphasizing what you do more than what Christ has done. And so that's his warning for those he's writing to back in the day. But what about us today? What does this mean for us? How do we share this same spiritual concern? In what way do we need to watch out in order to not lose what has been worked for? The deceivers who have gone out into the world do not confess Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. What does this denial of Christ look like? Well, often today, this takes on the form of complacency. Complacency may lead us to a false sense of security, thinking we are beyond the destructive nature of these false teachers or their teachings. Well, we don't have to worry about that here, especially not in Northwest Iowa. The biggest danger in the church is an apathy towards Christ, not really an active militant denial of Jesus Christ, but just a gradual drifting away, not valuing Christ, not mentioning Christ or his work in your life, not recognizing the significance of the salvation and living your life as if he really doesn't make much of a difference. This is probably why in verse 8, the first warning we are given in this letter, which is actually a direct command, is watch yourselves. Now, John doesn't give us very many commands. As we've worked our way through 1 John, he doesn't give commands that quick. He's usually giving you an example of how you should live, but he doesn't give direct commands. So when he does give you a command, it's a pretty big deal. And here we have a command, watch yourselves. Watch out. so that you do not lose what we have worked for. The danger of these deceivers, these antichrists, is so serious, and their deception and their error is so subtle and insidious that we cannot let our guard down even for a moment. Watch out! Now, this warning cry isn't anything new. I mean, John's saying it, Jesus says it, Paul says it. But what's unique here is the reason that John gives for our alertness, our watching out, this call to be vigilant. He gives us, in typical John fashion, both the positive and the negative, the compare and the contrast. The reason that we are to watch out is so that you will not lose what we have worked for. And then positively, that we may win a full reward. So you're watching out so you don't lose what we've worked for, but rather receive it. Receive that full reward. And so the question at this point is, well, what is John referring to? What are we at risk of losing if we aren't watching out? The idea here is not a threat of losing our salvation. We don't work to earn our salvation anyway. But rather, the reward he's talking about us potentially losing is this reward for faithful service. The blessings that we as believers receive in light of our life of obedience. Throughout the New Testament, we have indications that there are rewards for believers that go beyond the blessing of salvation. The reward of eternal life, which is the heritage of all believers. So there's a sense that what we believe and do now has that heavenly reward. Here's how Christ puts it in Matthew 6. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. So there you have the word, reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so there you have a reference to the reward that John is talking about as well. And this is why we're being told to watch out. Watch yourselves. Don't throw away what we all, John included, has been working for. All that we have worked for. Confessing Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confessing Christ as having come in the flesh is not an easy thing. He's not preaching a health, wealth gospel here. Even in his day, this was a challenge. Think about the setting that he's writing this in. You've got the entire Roman Empire with all of their pagan worship and emperor worship. And in addition to that, you have Jews who are pushing back against this young Christian faith. And here he's calling to them not to deny the fact that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Jesus warned his followers, and in this world, you will face trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And now John is saying, watch out. The deceivers, the antichrists, they're coming. Don't lose what we have worked for. And then he goes on to describe what that looks like. That watching out, the abiding in the truth. Verse 9, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Now the idea here in verse 9, this going on ahead is the idea of running on ahead. Getting so far ahead of what Christ has taught that you've actually left Christ in the dust. John has used this imagery of walking on a path, walking with the Lord, abiding with Christ. And now he's taking that imagery to the next level, saying there are those who have run so far ahead on this path that they have abandoned Christ. They've abandoned God. They're not abiding anymore. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Anyone who gets so progressive in his thinking that he walks out on the teaching of Christ walks out on God. And so they're running ahead. They're not believing, confessing Christ, the gospel anymore, his incarnation, him becoming man. They're not abiding in the teachings of Christ, these fundamental Christian basics. And in many ways, John is using the words of the false teachers against them here. In describing these false teachers, these deceivers, these antichrists, as one who runs ahead, John's probably taking a phrase that they use. They claim to have a superior knowledge, a gnosis. They're going ahead views, or we could say they're forward thinking or progressive thinking in the sense that they have gone beyond or ahead of those basic Christian truths. Whenever someone thinks that they have advanced so far that they no longer need the basics of the Christian life, we have a serious problem because the basics of the Christian life are the gospel. Here the warning is against someone who gets to the point of denying the gospel or even just assuming it and assuming that they don't need it. I've already heard about that Jesus and I just don't need to hear about that anymore because I've moved on. And both of these realities, even denying it or just simply assuming it, point to the fact that they never really had this saving faith in the first place. This progressive running on ahead thinks that Christ did not come in the flesh. John refers sarcastically to the claim. They indeed are running ahead and they've advanced so far that they've even left God behind. Because anyone who denies Christ does not have God. We're beyond that way of thinking now. We're modern. That's the way it used to be, but we don't think in that archaic way of depending on some guy who was crucified for salvation anymore. We're enlightened now. What does this look like for us today? In what ways do we experience so-called Christians going on ahead with the result of not holding to the teachings of Christ? Many today want God, or the idea of God without Christ. They believe in God or a higher being, they say, but see no necessity for Christ. Or they consider all religions as alternative roads leading to God in one way or the other. All paths lead to the same place in the end. And the impression is given that this is a modern way of thinking. You Christians with your archaic thoughts of Jesus being the only way, we've moved on. We've run past and on ahead from that. Now, whatever religion you want, whatever works for you, is what you should go with. Because in the end, it's all the same God, it's all the same religion, we all end up in the same place in the end. And this pluralistic thinking, this pluralistic teaching, results in the abandoning of the truths of Christianity. Coexist is the bumper sticker with every major religious symbol. It's simply a matter of preference, just like choosing which clothing style you like. What works for you? And our American culture is unfortunately an example of the warning that John is giving us here in verse 9. Think about how Satan, the deceiver, the antichrist, works in his deception and in his distortion of the truth. He doesn't flat out proclaim that Christ is false, that Christ never came in the flesh. Rather, he just takes the gospel and twists it slightly. Let's just assume that, no, we don't need to talk about it. We've been there, done that. Let's move on to the more important things and not have the gospel as central. Let's focus on social justice and the good things that you do instead of what Christ has accomplished for your salvation. Let that be your gospel, quote unquote. He'll never come out and say directly, kill babies. But rather subtly, the attacks come by saying how it's more compassionate to terminate an unwanted or unplanned pregnancy. It's in the best interest of the child. And all of a sudden, what is evil is called good. What Scripture describes as degrading, shameful, unnatural, and a perversion is described as love. Acceptable, something to be celebrated. Love is love, the bumper sticker says. And so once again, what is evil is described as good. And we get used to it. It doesn't shock us as much as it once did. Watch out, John is telling us. God's truth is distorted. That's how the attack takes place. Many so-called Christians have run on ahead, and the result is compromising the truth. Instead of loving it and obeying it, we've abandoned it. We've let go of Christianity, its teachings. We've let go of the gospel, and we've run so far ahead that we've left Christ and God in the dust. And it's happening literally right under John's nose. John, eyewitness of Jesus Christ, been there, done that. He saw him in the flesh, and there are individuals who have the audacity of saying, no, I don't think Christ came in the flesh. There's nothing new under the sun. Same is happening today. And the warning is for us to watch out. Watch out for their teaching. If it's something that, well, I've never heard that one before, watch out. Ask the question, is it biblical? Now, what about closer to home? What does this mean for us? We're talking about those out there, but what about when we bring it home? Paul warns us in Acts that from among your own selves, men will arise speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. So what does this look like? What's the danger that we face here? It's as subtle as leaving out the gospel or tweaking the gospel ever so slightly. The new perspective on Paul. Federal vision. Grace gets you in, but your good works keep you in. God helps those who help themselves. And all of a sudden we have a repeating of the medieval idea of congruent merit that God somehow grades on a curve and you just have to do your best. And you've run ahead and you've left the gospel in the dust. No one is going to come out with a public statement denying the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It's going to be much more subtle than that. We deny who Christ is and what he's accomplished in the way we live our lives. John has already described those who by their lifestyle, by their practice of sin, show themselves to be outside of Christ's followers. Here we have another example. Some of the children of this church, elect lady, aren't walking with Christ. Aren't following the truth. No one who denies the Son has the Father. And the danger for us departing, denying, is much more subtle. More like drifting. Simply not paying attention. Becoming preoccupied with the things of the world. The drifting happens and we don't even realize it. C.S. Lewis once said, and I think I've shared this with you before, if you examined 100 people who had lost their faith in Christianity, I wonder how many of them would have been reasoned out of it by honest argument. Do not most people simply drift away? Most people say they are Christians but no longer live as Christians. Did they actively decide to leave the church and to leave the faith? Or did they just drift? Stopped looking to the Word as their reference point. Didn't make Christ a priority in their life. Let other things become more important. Christ says, if you aren't for me, you are against me. So if you're no longer living your life for Christ, if you're no longer walking in the truth, if you're no longer part of Him and abiding in Him, then you've drifted. Departed. denied, which means you're against or anti-Christ. Are you abiding in the truth? Do you live your life in dependence on God's grace, shown to us in Jesus Christ, walking with Him instead of running ahead of Him? The challenge is for us to follow Christ, living for Christ, abiding in Christ. Whoever chooses a different way other than Christ's words, His teachings, is separating himself from Christ. And not only Christ, but also God, John is telling us here in verse 9. But whoever abides in His teaching, this abiding, this remaining in His teaching, this gospel teaching, who Christ is and what He's done, the man and the message, has both the Father and the Son. The basics of Christianity, rooted in who Jesus is and what He's done. Not a myth, not a coping mechanism, but the reality of Christ becoming man, living, dying, and rising again for your salvation. Grace, mercy, peace will be with us, John says. Grace, not getting what you deserve for your sin. Mercy, getting the opposite, Christ's righteousness, with the result of peace with God. Don't run ahead of Christ's teachings or progress so far beyond the gospel that you don't need it anymore. Instead, grow in your understanding of it, walking in the truth, and third and finally, receiving only the truth. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. Whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Now, as Christians, we know that we should normally be practicing hospitality, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. That's Romans 12. Hospitality is one of the qualifications for being an elder. Be hospitable. Hebrews 13. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. 1 Peter 4. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love... This is probably a good one for this week of Thanksgiving. 1 Peter 4. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So we know that this is part of our calling as Christians to practice hospitality. So it should strike us as funny when all of a sudden John is saying, don't. Don't show them hospitality. Don't receive them in. When it comes to this false teacher, this deceiver, don't invite them into your house in any way. And what John is saying on the one hand, he's writing to those who are so tolerant that they tolerate anything and everything. Who am I to say that what you believe is right or wrong? And what John is basically saying is that, yes, you need to watch out. You need to make a judgment call. But John is also writing to those who are so intolerant that if anyone has an opposing idea to their own, they are totally rejected and unwelcome. The goal here is loving the truth and obeying the truth without compromising the truth, on the one hand, and loving the truth and obeying the truth without being divisive, on the other. And you might be thinking, well, that's really hard to do. And you're right. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, gospel teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. And here are some points for us to keep in mind to avoid the compromise or the division. First, John is talking about those who are actively teaching what is wrong. He's talking about the deceivers, the antichrists, who have gone out into the world and are teaching false doctrines, teaching actively that Christ did not come into the flesh, teaching against the incarnation, which is what the gospel is all about. This person who is not to be received is one who comes to you, not as a casual visitor, but as an official teacher, bringing a message. A message other than the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? What that means is this is not a command against showing hospitality to unbelievers. John's not talking about personal friends or exchange students from another country with a different faith or religion, or international students at the local university we're trying to reach out to, or non-Christian family members. Did Jesus eat with sinners? Did Jesus eat with unbelievers? Yes, and then he shared the gospel with them. So that's not what John is saying. He's also not giving us an excuse to not show hospitality to those who disagree with us on doctrinal points. Just because they're Baptist or Arminian or disagree with us over one doctrine or another does not necessarily mean that they are therefore anti-Christ or deny the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. So John's not saying that either. When he writes to not receive them into your home and do not exchange greetings with them, what he has in mind is helping or assisting people who are actively opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, who are actively teaching against the incarnation of Christ, Christ taking on human flesh for our salvation. So what does that look like? Well, the Mormon missionaries decide to have a mission trip to Sioux Center so that they can share with everyone that Jesus isn't the only Son of God or even the only way of salvation. You all can become gods if you want to or if you work hard enough at it. And they're looking for host families. And you think, oh, well, these are good, nice-looking young men, all American guys with smiles on their faces, nice slacks and dress shirts, a nice little name tag and a bicycle. What would be wrong with giving them a place to stay? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. The Jehovah's Witnesses or some atheist comes to town to give a conference on the hoax of Christ's incarnation. Or Rob Bell is invited to come speak on why Christ's death was actually cosmic child abuse. Now, we're not told to be uncivil, but we are told don't receive them. In the sense of, don't endorse their teachings. Don't give them financial support. Don't offer them encouragement or a place to stay or make it possible for them to spread their lies when what they're teaching is opposed to Christ, is anti-Christ. And this might seem like common sense, but there's a reason John's writing it in his letter. Don't invite the deceiver and the antichrist into your home. And when he's referencing home, we can also extend it to the church as a whole, because that's who he's writing this with. Hey, we've got this great Mormon for pulpit supply. Don't do that. Hey, we're going to take an offering for the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're trying to build their kingdom hall. Don't do that. Because by doing it, John is pointing out, you are taking part in their wicked works. Now, if John's instructions here seem harsh, it's probably because his concern for Christ's glory and his concern for our souls is greater than our own concern for Christ's glory and our good. And this might seem harsh to our ears because the tolerance on which we pride ourselves is in reality an indifference or an apathy, not really caring one way or the other about the gospel truths. We are being called here to watch, watching ourselves. We are being called to abide in the truth that is Christ, and being called to receive only the truth of Jesus Christ. We watch ourselves abiding in the teachings of Christ and receiving only the truth of Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your gospel, for the gospel truths that are ours in Christ, the salvation that is ours because Christ became man, lived, died, rose again for our complete salvation. And it's our prayer, Lord, that we will pay attention to the warning we hear this morning of those who challenge this gospel, that we may watch ourselves, that we will abide in the teachings of Jesus Christ, abide in the gospel, living it out, and only receive the gospel truths of who Christ is and what he has done for us and our salvation. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.